Wholesalers, welcome to another edition of Wholesaler Masterminds Radio. You know, the empire of Wholesaler Masterminds continues to grow in addition to I Carry the Bag, which hopefully you've all subscribed to. You know, you can go out now and get your Wholesaler Masterminds app. Don't give me static. It's not available on Android yet. It's coming. But for right now, it's available for iPhone, iPad, etc. So we hope you go out and take advantage of that. And when you're out there, please give us a rating on it. We've worked hard to bring it to you. And don't forget in that, you'll be able to find the one-of-a-kind, the only ever-created Komodin Caffeine Finder, which some of you find humorous, which, by the way, is a great entree to our guest today. Ron Culberson is the author of Do It Well, Make It Fun. Now, Ron has been a humorist, a speaker, and author for the better part of 20 years. And he has his origins, his background, come from a place that is so very different from the work that we do every day. And that's one of the reasons I wanted him here. He's found a way in his education, in his study, to be able to bring humor to things as, well, not humorous, as hospice care. And Ron has his origins originally in the healthcare industry and now branches out to a much larger community, bringing this message of do it well, make it fun. And I'll tell you what, wholesalers, if there's a community that needs a do it well, make it fun message, especially the latter in light of what's going on since 2008, 2009, it continues to challenge us in our industry, well, it's financial services. Ron Culberson, welcome to Wholesaler Masterminds Radio.
Thank you so much. I was distracted a minute there. I was downloading my Komode Finder app. I've got to... Definitely have to have that on my iPhone.
Yes, and just so we have it clear, it's the Caffeine and Komode Finder since they tend to go hand in hand.
Yeah.
So you've done a lot of work. I mean, it's one thing to be a humorous guy, which I know you to be. It's another to have really delved into the science and technology, if you will, of humor. What have you done there, and what have you found out?
Well, it's interesting you asked that question because I was one of those guys that wanted to be a class clown in high school. I got teacher's pet, and I was devastated. But I went on to college, and I had done some humor writing in both high school and college for a couple of kind of oddball kinds of things. But it piqued my interest. I was always a funny person. So when I got out of college, I didn't really see myself as a stand-up comic. I never liked that environment. But what I did instead in graduate school, I did my graduate thesis on humor. I looked at the relationship between humor and depression. Does humor help us when we're depressed? Does it help us recover? That kind of thing. And as a result, amassed this unbelievable amount of information. I do consider myself an expert in that area. And then turned around and turned it into a presentation where I shared it with people. And kind of how I got my speaking career started was I was doing these presentations on what I called the therapeutic benefits of humor. And my career kind of evolved from there, where I got exposure to some audiences that led to other programs, and that's where I got to where I am today.
Now, in your book, you talk about this whole notion, and in our pre-call, as I reflect back on it now, the importance of hooking these two concepts together, this do-it-well concept with this make-it-fun concept, and you were emphatically clear with me that, you know, these need to live harmoniously together. We're not separating the two. Can you embellish what you mean by how those two thoughts interconnect?
Sure. Let me just give you a sort of background information on where I've come to understand this. When we were young, we were often told things like, that's not funny, don't be silly, grow up and act your age, wipe that smile off your face, all these kinds of things. And what I think we unfortunately incorporated in our brains as we got older was that in order to be successful as an adult, to be a responsible citizen, or to be successful in business, we have to be serious. And quite honestly, I don't want to take it lightly. We do need to be serious about our work, but that's not the ultimate goal. The ultimate goal is excellence. So when I was doing programs on humor early on, a lot of people are out there talking about the benefits of humor in the workplace. That's not unusual, but what I believe is a real important distinction is that we have to be good at what we do first. Most of us seek seriousness as the goal in our lives rather than seeking excellence. And it's excellence that will make it successful. Whatever it is, whether it's a being a wholesaler, whether it's being a parent, it's excellence that makes us good at it, not just being serious about the work or taking ourselves too seriously. So my belief is that if you're going to then add humor to anything, you have to be good first. We all know people in our work environments that are funny or try to be funny, but they're not good at what they do, and it actually undermines their effectiveness. On the flip side of that, if we've ever had a boss or a supervisor who was really, really good at what he or she did, but made the experience fun, made the process fun, was a fun person, we tended to want to work for that person. We might come in early. We might stay late. We wanted to be productive for that person. So I think that's where the magic is. It's the combination of the two that takes us to a whole other level of success.
You know, as you're saying that, I'm thinking about people that master both ends of it, and just to kind of test it, you know who's coming to my mind? Because on one hand, you know him and view him as a comedian, and on the other hand, he's a really intelligent guy about current events, especially politics, and someone like Jon Stewart.
Right.
He's brought this incredible depth of knowledge, and it almost is like his permission slip to be outrageously humorous.
Right. And if you were to break that down, you would say, okay, he has to be good at knowing what's going on first, or he can't then make fun of it in a smart way. Since you brought up comedians, I would also reference the video called Comedian by Jerry Seinfeld, which shows the documentary the year after he quit his the sitcom ended, where he wrote an entire stand-up, a new stand-up act. What you will take away from that video is not just how funny he is, but how hard he works at the craft of being funny. And I don't think most of us think about that. We don't realize that there's an excellence or a foundation behind that. But Jon Stewart's a perfect example. Now, in order for him to do that every day, he's got to have a great team with him. But clearly he got to that point because he was already doing it well in the first place.
You know, wholesalers, if you're interested in furthering this concept, because you referenced something, Ron, that another guest of ours, Jeff Colvin, who's the executive editor of Fortune magazine, referenced, and it's this whole notion of disciplined practice, and we won't get off tangent here, but he referenced someone like a Chris Rock and his ability to have this practice. Jerry Seinfeld, he referenced the very same video. So it's interesting the correlation between the two.
Right.
Tell me more about this process. I heard you say to me that everything we do is a process and could be more fun. What does that really mean?
Okay, so I my last 2 years in hospice care, I was in quality improvement, which was fascinating to me because I like the mechanics of it. I have a logical brain, and maybe that's the relationship between humor. I use this word called congruent incongruence whenever I talk about humor because there is a logic to it. There is something connected when something is funny, and there's something disconnected. So this three-legged dog walks into a bar and says, "I'm looking for the man who shot my paw." And so, you know, this concept of paw taking on two meanings, there's a connection there, but there's also a disconnect, and that's where the humor works. So I came from a world of quality improvement, which is a very logical, methodical way of improving what we do. It goes back to the Deming model and some of the work that was being done in the 70s. But here's the thing is that everything we do is a process. When you and I started this call, we started a process. We talked about the process before we got on the call. Before that, though, there was a process of the two of us getting connected and planning the call. When I took driver's ed when I was 16, I had to learn the process of what I do every time I get in the car, put the seatbelt on, check the mirrors, put the brake on, you know, put the key in the ignition, et cetera. Every single thing we do is a process, which means that the processes in our life and our work can be broken down into steps. And here's where, to me, it gets fun, because every step then can either be improved or potentially be more fun. And that's where we apply this principle. But you first have to learn the concept of the process before you can break it down and figure out where can I make it more fun. So if there's something in my job that I hate, I'm going to break down that process and say, well, how can I make the overall process more fun by looking at some of the steps that can be improved?
So how do I take your concept and this value of humor and the beneficial nature of it, and how do I inject it into serious places, as you've had experience doing? I mean, my goodness, you worked at hospice. So let me give you a real live example, and let's see if we can bring some bring some light to this in a way that will be beneficial to our listeners to bring home the point. So I'm a wholesaler. I'm called upon to stand in front of a group of public customers. These public customers have been assembled by the financial advisor. They're there for information about global and economic world events, also portfolio updates from my particular fund or variable annuity or life insurance complex. And, boy, I don't have a whole lot good to say about what's happening because there really isn't a whole lot good happening over the course of the last many years of this never-ending recession. How do I inject humor there, and especially how do I inject it without coming off as, you know, cavalier or a buffoon? I mean, how do I handle that?
Yeah, and okay, so here's the cool thing about that scenario is that I would be so interested in knowing how any particular person would look at the goal of that experience. Because when I see it, I see the goal as putting together a great presentation with the ultimate goal that the people in the audience, you want them to stay invested, no pun intended, with me or the advisor. So the goal is that I want them to trust me. I want them to believe that I have some expertise, and I want them to see me as someone that they can rely on. If nothing else, to be honest and upfront and trustworthy. Now, that would be my goal. That's the way I would see, as an audience member, what I would expect. So then I would design a presentation that did two things, and it fits very nicely with the Do It Well, Make It Fun philosophy. First of all, I would share my expertise and show them that I know what I'm talking about in a very honest and upfront way. That might be a bleak picture, but if I tried to paint it too rosy, I might come across as a salesman or a slick, you know, a snake oil salesman where I'm not being totally honest. So I'm going to establish my expertise by teaching them what I know and showing them that I have this expertise. But then I'm going to make the process of teaching them more fun. I'm not going to make light of the economic crisis. I'm not going to make light of somebody losing money. That would not work. But I can make light of teaching the concepts. So if I were to use the same example, when I taught death education in hospice, I didn't make fun of death and dying. I didn't make fun of grief. But I used funny stories and examples of people coping or dealing with those kind of things that illustrated the points of how we get through it. So if I'm teaching about financial concepts and financial futures and that kind of thing, you know, I might try to make some sort of a story or illustration or humor that makes the learning process a little more fun.
Ron, I'm gonna throw you a curveball. I like this topic so much, and we do work in such a pressure-packed, potentially downer environment, especially over the course of the last many years. How do I bring, if you had to just, again, we haven't pre-prepared any of this, how would you bring some humor, some of these restorative humor benefits? How would you suggest that somebody, wholesalers, I'm talking to you, wholesaler, if you are just wound up too damn tight, and you are just wound up too tight, and you can't figure out how to crack a smile and laugh, because the ominousness, if that's a real word, is starting to wear on you. Ron, how do I get that person? How do we get that person to just, you know, let at least maybe a couple locks of hair down?
Yeah. Well, I think probably everybody, if you look at the world, you know, there are people all along that continuum from what somebody once called terminally serious to the person that's just a clown. So we're all across the board on that continuum. I have people that will say to me, I'm not a funny person. I don't have a sense of humor. And I don't buy that. And here's why I don't buy that. I may not be a good tennis player. I may never win the French Open like Rafael Nadal recently did. But I certainly can learn to play tennis good enough to go out on the weekends and have a good time. So when it comes to humor, I believe everybody can improve where they are on that continuum. One of the ways is to expose yourself to funny things. I read funny authors. I watch funny movies. I watch funny shows. Part of that is because it exposes me to the way they see the world, and it helps me to see the world the same way. Another way is to look for the humor that's all around you. If you're paying attention, there are funny things everywhere that we just miss because we're so caught up in us and our own issues. So I think it's really paying attention and being exposed to it on a regular basis. it's like that old notion of when you buy a car and you think it has a really cool color, but then you go out and you see that color everywhere. You never noticed it before. Part of that is just awareness. Once you enhance your awareness that that there's humor here or there, you then tend to see it more, and you start to see a little bit more. And so I think the first step is just exposure, and then to try it out a little bit at a time. You know, first, if you're kind of nervous about it, quote somebody. You know, Johnny Carson said, life's not fair. If life was fair, Elvis would be alive and all the impersonators would be dead. I don't have to come up with that. I don't have to write that. That's not mine. I'm just quoting somebody else that says something funny. And, you know, speaking of, that's a great quote, by the way, that somebody could use in that previous scenario. You know, it's not making fun of the economic situation. It's making fun of the unfairness of it all. But then recognizing that that's really life. It's not anything, you know, that we can control.
Ron, what a pleasure to have you here. I know you're going to be writing a story for I Carry the Bag magazine, the official magazine of wholesaling. And wholesalers, if you not had a chance to go out and get it yet, for heaven's sakes, go get yourself a subscription, icarrythebag.com. Ron Culberson, it has really been a pleasure to hear your perspectives and your insights on bringing humor and doing it well, making it fun. Thank you for being here on Wholesaler Masterminds Radio.
Thank you for having me, Ron. I really appreciate it.
Wholesalers, we'll talk to you next time for another edition of Wholesaler Masterminds Radio.